Good morning. Reading today as our text, verses of Psalm 46. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I'm going to use an expression. Have you ever heard someone accuse another person of playing God? This is not role-playing. This is not pretending. There are examples of this. A doctor takes certain measures to end another person's life intentionally, what they call euthanasia. Persons seeking abortion or performing abortions surely are stepping into the place of God by deciding to end this unborn child's time of grace, which is a decision that only God should make. Now, we could go on with other examples involving other people, but let's not today. Let's keep the focus on ourselves. Are we ever guilty of playing God? Take that question personally. How does it apply to you specifically? And if nothing specific comes to mind, please consider this at least. If we pursue some sin, if you decide to do what you want in spite of and contrary to what God wants, then you are stepping into the place of God, assuming control over some aspect of your life. And this, in addition to whatever sin you decide to do, is also a breaking of the first commandment. No, we cannot and should not play God. Now, as Christians, we learn to own up to that, repent of that, struggle against it, and for more than one reason. Not only is it wrong and in need of God's forgiveness, but we also realize that we're not qualified, not even a little bit, to decide what only God can decide, to say and do what only God can say and do. This is part of our Christian growth pattern. We learn to get back into the right position, not equals with God, but under Him, and just as importantly, surrounded by Him. It's a good thing what the psalm writer said. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now let's go back to verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. You've heard that before. What does that mean? I want to try a rephrasing. Say nothing. Do nothing. And let God be God in every moment, every situation, every crisis, every time of confusion. It's a principle you'll have to remember in religion class when thinking about asking a hard question, or listening to someone else ask the kind of question that the prof really can't answer. Typically during sophomore religion, I hear from at least one student who wants to know the answer to something like this. If God knew beforehand that Adam and Eve would fall into sin and bring this horrible curse upon us and the whole human race and all of creation, then why did He create these two with what amounts to the potential to blow it, to disobey Him? I can't answer that. God doesn't tell us. Now here's something for you to focus on today. Are we okay with the lack of an answer? Can we leave it at that? It's unanswered. Can we tell our curious mind, driven by human reason and lots of other things that aren't deserving of the Lord, to be still and let God be God? In the past decade, going back to 2001, boy, we've seen a number of catastrophes and disasters. The 9/11 attacks come to mind with the recent anniversary. The devastation of New Orleans from a hurricane not so long ago. The more recent nuclear power plant disaster along the coast of Japan. All resulting in many human deaths, and we're not counting the wars and the atrocities elsewhere. During such difficult times, people ask the hard questions. Why, God? If God really cares, why did He let this happen? If God really has absolute power, why didn't He put a stop to it? Now, we could spend the time lining up the passages that do say God loves everyone in the same undeserved way, and the passages which do say that God has absolute power over everything He made, including the forces of nature. And let's not forget the passages, the good news passages that say God wants no one to perish. And yet if we line up all these biblical truths involved, every single one of them, there are going to be gaps that can't be filled in this life. Dots that we cannot connect because God Himself has not connected them. It's a reminder for you and me so that we don't play God with other people's tragedies, and we don't play God with our own problems. You're young. You haven't experienced, perhaps, maybe you have, a crisis. The day comes, though. It's only a matter of time before we face the kind of thing brought on by personal injury, accident, disease, death of a very close loved one. These are the times when we may be tempted to say, why this? Why me? Why now? And God does not answer to the satisfaction of your human reason. That doesn't mean He's silent, though. Not by a long shot. He gives promises. He gives assurances to get you through it. He basically says in His Word, yes, I allowed this to happen at this point in your life, but I still love you. I will see you through this. I will turn even this into a good, a blessing for you. I'll do it. I'll do it because of my Son, Jesus. Be still and know that I am God. Boy, we need that principle, especially when facing the biggest crisis of all, one that we all face because of our sins. When you're in the position of having sinned against God, there's nothing to do other than be still. There's nothing you can say to defend what you did. There's nothing you can do to take it back or make it go away. Your only recourse is to let Jesus be Jesus. The answer. Because He took all of your sins on Himself. He paid the debt for you. He replaced your failure with His righteousness as your perfection. And that means He causes God, the judge, to say as the last word on the matter, you're not guilty, you're forgiven. When you're in that position of letting God be your Savior God, I can say it, it's true, all is well. All is well. No matter what the circumstances in your life happen to be. When you're in that safe place of His grace, please join the psalm writer in saying, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We'll be singing the truth of that verse in the four stanzas of our hymn today, hymn 651. Hymn 651.